Oh, here we go. The question's really starting to come up now about when we can get back to meeting here. I've just been laying low, watching, making observations, seeing what other people are doing, other leaders are doing, and what of course, the government's going to be saying, what is going to get released, and what phase we're in, and just trying to be sensitive to all those things. Aaron Simmons down in Tip City, their church, they did a soft start this morning for having church again, no children's programs, and they said they had actually communicated with their health department there to make sure they were doing everything they could to keep everyone safe. So I'm just open to feedback. I'd love to get back to meeting Memorial Day weekend. Actually, that would be a desire. I don't know if we can or not, but I'd like to. I'm going to start working with the worship team. I actually played my guitar carefully. Like, it was the hardest thing. It was the first time I grabbed it and said, I'm going to have to do this eventually. I'm going to have to touch that string with that finger. And so it was something close to walking across hot coals in your bare feet. It was like that. So again, I just keep saying this. You have to have this appreciation for people that have walked through in that the thing that follows a surgery or an accident that you have to. I'm missing a word here, but the therapy and the, you start through this, you have to start using the things that you stopped using for a while, and I'm just going to have to do that every day. I've been trying to tap my finger, and just tapping on any hard surface is an interesting sensation. So you can pray for me. It's a big deal. I've got to push through this, and it's mostly in my head. The pain is real, but the uncomfortableness, but I am going to be able to do it. So in a little bit of time and using it and getting it reconditioned and pressing through all the odd sensations. So that's good. That's a good encouraging thing. Encourage myself. Yeah. And let me just say something. I've desired to say this, and so this is a good moment to say it. We've got to stop confessing all the feelings and all the things that we get and have. And I can be the biggest candidate right here. And I'm talking, of course, I'm talking to people, and I know other things that are going on through this season. And it's so important. I can't get into much of anything, but it's so important at that moment that you have a thought, a feeling about yourself, and they can be very serious things like suicide or the fear of what's going to happen to you or where you're going or what things are going to look like. Like, I just hate right now people saying the new normal. I really have to control myself over that. It's kind of like we lock ourselves into this situation where we would always have to be wearing masks and like I could just begin with how ineffective I believe all that is. On the website for the Ohio.gov and it's not stay at home order, it's a stay safe order, but it's the same thing. And the picture of the man that is dressed up with a mask on and the whole whatever gloves, probably standing there to simulate, here's what, you know, it looks like and here's what you should do. I looked at the picture because I copied off all these regulations. I look at the picture. I look at his mask that he has on. I have a box full of those masks down in my garage. It's called a Breathe Easy mask. It's an N95 mask. It's the number they say you should wear and use. And in the center of the mask is a little square button right in the center of the mask. That little square plastic area has a little rubber flap in it so that when you breathe in, the flap goes closed, and you may filter out like 70% of whatever, but especially people like me that have a beard, it's probably a greater percentage of air that gets around the mask anyways. And then when you breathe out, that little rubber flap opens. So if I breathe out so that it doesn't fog up my glasses, the air goes right out of the mask. And if I would sneeze or cough, it would really go out that. So I went, oh my gosh, do you realize what you just put on, you know, posted for our safety? So yeah, whatever. So we're trying to cooperate and be sensitive with all of those things. And yet people getting COVID, it is real. They're all, you know, all of a sudden, they're real. I don't trust the numbers. I'll just say, I just don't, for good reason. So, but there are people that get sick. There are people that are dying, that die from it. So, I said all that to come back to this. Be careful what you say and talk about and confess about yourself. Feelings of hopelessness, the fear. And I began to just say this. I'm not afraid of this virus. It was more powerful than what I realized. I'm not afraid of this. I'll be careful and I'll protect people as much as I can, other people, but I'm not afraid of it. Matter of fact, bring it on. I'd rather go through it and have the antibodies in my blood than to live in any fear. Like, I hate that. I hate living in fear. And so you just kind of put your shoulders back and all the things, and I'm taking a lot of precautions as far as being healthy. That's what I believe is really important. Zinc, vitamin C, drink tonic water that has quinine in it. That releases things in your cells. It helps if you have body pain, and you can go to the drugstore, any store, and buy tonic water, and it'll say right on the front of the bottle, with quinine. And it doesn't taste the greatest, but drink 4 ounces of that every day, and it'll help release things and help if you're taking zinc, which I highly recommend, and vitamin C, and enough of that. You're really taking care of yourself and doing something that's so simple to do that really helps protect you and prevent things from happening. But back to this thing. Be careful confessing feelings that you have. Feelings of suicide. Feelings of hopelessness. Feelings of, like, at any moment, especially with us all being at home more, living with your families, the irritations can be there. You can choose to not be irritable. You can choose to not say everything you're thinking or feeling. And there's a lot to be said for watching over that. But when you confess something, it gives life to it. The enemy will bombard all of us, any of us, with the weirdest thoughts and fears. And at that moment, it's very important what you do to it. It's kind of like seed. And I was just doing grass seed in my back lawn, fixing things and doing things, landscaping, et cetera. And if there's a seed that falls on you and you don't want it to grow on you, brush it off. Like, and these thoughts are like that. Every temptation is like that. It begins with the most minuscule thought, and it's up to you. Like, you can choose right then, right there, to brush it off, to say no to it. To think other thoughts, and we will confess this stuff to other people, especially the people close to us, and it can really give life to the thing. So it is, we can grow up in our culture, feel like we've got to talk about everything we're feeling. Beware. Be careful. Because there's more to it than that. And I would just really, after all, we're under the lordship of Jesus. On the thoughts and the confessions and the professions and the simple things that I say in secret and private at the kitchen table, those are just as important as what I would say in any public setting. So watch over those thoughts and feelings and be very careful about confessing them and professing them. It's huge. And if you have something and you identify it as bad, like coming, it's not coming from God, trust me. I can guarantee you that. It's not coming from Him. So do you really want to participate in it? because that is all around us in the atmosphere, all that other stuff. So say no to it. And I keep coming back to this on a daily basis. Jesus, I just want to please you. I want to please you with what I do, with what I think, with how I'm interacting with. I want to please you. What's my role? What's important for me to be doing today? What is my destiny? I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to get offline. And that is why this mandate from Bobby Connors about teach my people to soar with the eagles, soar, get up high, so that they can avoid the chaos and the confusion of the moment and of the day. And man, it's all around us, isn't it? So, I want to take a minute again to profess and confess strongly that I am totally standing with our president. And who was it? I was listening to somebody else. We need to confess, you know, that we are with President Donald J. Trump, because even his name is significant. Even his first name is significant. And there he has in the Oval Office a Bible that is from the revival that happened in the Hebrides Islands. And it was a huge, incredible revival that I'd learned about several years back, and I've shared some with you. And he is related. How is that, Phyllis? A great aunt that was in the revivals? Two of them? Like, there was a Bible that was in that revival, and it got passed down to him. And when Donald Trump was born, his mother named him Donald, because Donald was the name of a young man that was in that revival, that the pastor that was involved in that, there were two women that were the key, then there was a pastor, you know, every set of two old women that pray, that actually do the real work, they need a pastor to whatever. I don't know. There always seems to be one around. I don't think we do the necessary work. I think they do the necessary work. And he would actually, that leader, that pastor would actually have this young man named Donald that was completely impacted by the Spirit. He would have him and be involved and speak and lead and pray for things, like a real anointing, and he was very young. And so when Donald Trump was born, his mother named him Donald for that purpose in relation to that. He has that Bible. It is in the Oval Office. Think about that. So I'm totally with him, whether you're offended with him or not with him. He's an amazing, amazing leader. And he constantly is saying things in public. He announces things that sets everybody off like a bomb. And they flip out over things that he said, like from the beginning, early in his administration, he makes this comment that I'm being surveilled, like I'm being spied on. And everybody made fun of him. He can't make a statement without proof of that, blah, blah, blah. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He heard it directly from the horse's mouth, the person that was the head person, man, General Rogers, in charge of all the intelligence agency. Like, there wasn't anybody higher than him. And he came to him, not as far as being involved and knowing the facts, he personally came to President Trump. They met in a skiff. A skiff is a created room that nothing can get in, nothing can get out. Like, it's a very serious, you want to have a conference that you want anything leaking and anybody being able to track you, to surveil you, you meet in a skiff. He met the president in a skiff and said, you are being surveilled by the other administration. And the next day, the president moved his transition team out of Trump Tower and onto his golf course, where I'm very sure that he had his Secret Service go and clean the place and check it and make sure that nothing was able to get in. He's been verified, he's been proven now to be exactly true. We're seeing that play out right now in the news media, in the news, the good news. Another thing that he did in the midst of this virus was that he started to talk about hydroxychloroquine and the effects that it had on this virus. And he did it in this kind of nonchalant way, but he referred to, hey, I hear this has an effect on it. And again, he got ridiculed. They went after him like crazy, like, you're not a doctor, and blah, blah, blah. The president doesn't do those things. He loves to troll people. He's on purpose doing this because the more they throw a fit and the more that they speak against him, the more it proves of what their motives are. It proves that he knows what he's talking about and that they actually don't, or that they know and they're against him and they're trying to actually counter that. Listen to this article published by a man named Brian Fisher. He wrote this article in the One News Now organization. I can give you a link to the actual article. And the headline of the article is Fauci, Dr. Fauci, who stands beside the president in those all those press briefings that he was doing. Fauci knew about HCQ, which is hydroxychloroquine. In 2005, nobody needed to die. That's like, wow. Nobody needed to die. I actually have a relative that is on hydroxychloroquine because of rheumatoid arthritis. It also, if I understand right, it also treats that. And they told her, and this was at the onset of this outbreak, you're on this, you don't have to worry about getting it. Now, if that's true, and the medical profession knows that, why in God's name are not our healthcare workers, our nurses and doctors on it as a prevention? Because once you're taking that, you can't get this virus. Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose expert advice to President Trump has resulted in the complete shutdown of the greatest economic engine in world history, has known since 2005 that chloroquine is an effective inhibitor of coronavirus. How did he know that? Because of research done by the National Institutes of Health, of which he is the director. In connection with the SARS outbreak caused by a coronavirus dubbed SARS-CoV, the NIH, or the National Institute of Health, researched chloroquine and concluded that it was effective at stopping the SARS coronavirus in its tracks. The COVID-19 bug is likewise a coronavirus labeled SARS-CoV-2. While not exactly the same virus as SARS-CoV-1, it is genetically related to it and shares 79% of the genomes. As the name SARS-CoV-2 implies, they both use the same host cell receptor, which is what viruses use to gain entry to the cell and infect the victim. The Virology Journal, the official publication of Dr. Fauci's National Institute of Health, published what is now a blockbuster article on August 22, 2005, under the heading, Get Ready for This. Chloroquine is a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus infection and spread. What write the researchers? We report that chloroquine has strong antiviral effects on SARS-CoV infection of primate cells. These inhibitory effects are observed when the cells are treated with a drug either before or after exposure to the virus, suggesting both prophylactic and therapeutic advantage. The measure, of course, that Dr. Fauci has known for 15 years, that chloroquine and its even milder derivative, hydroxychloroquine, will not only treat a current case of coronavirus, but prevent future cases, which is the prophylactic. So HCQ functions as both a cure and a vaccine. In other words, it's a wonder drug for coronavirus, said Dr. Fauci's NIH in 2005. Concentrations of 10, goes into the details of this. And that it effectively reduced the establishment of infection and spread. We've watched, if you've paid attention, there's this real strong movement to resist the use of hydroxychloroquine by governors. There were governors that made laws against prescribing it. What? He and a team of researchers reported that the use of ACQ administered with both azithromycin and zinc cured 79 out of 80 patients with only rare and minor adverse events. In conclusion, these researchers write, "We confirm the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine associated with azithromycin in the treatment of COVID-19 and its potential effectiveness in the early impairment of contagion." And then skipping some, nothing happened with regard to the use of ACQ until March 20. So no one researched this again. No one brought it up until the president makes this statement. Until March 20, when President Trump put his foot down and insisted, he had to insist that the FDA consider authorizing ACQ for off-label use use to treat SARS-CoV-2. On March 23rd, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko reported that he had tested around 500 coronavirus patients with HCQ and had seen an astonishing 100% success rate. That's not the anecdotal evidence Dr. Fauci sneers at, but actual results with real patients in clinical settings. And Dr. Fauci did act that way. This treatment costs about $20. There is a drug that Fauci is promoting. It starts with an R. I won't try to pronounce it. It's very extremely expensive per pill. I've heard different numbers, but he goes on in this article to paraphrase Jesus, "It's not the symptom-free who need HCQ, but the sick, and they need it at the first signs of symptoms." So when they're treated at first signs, there's a huge, hugely tremendous good result from that. While the regressive healthcare establishment wants the HCQ cocktail to only be administered late in the course of infection. Again, why? Why would they do that? "From a medical standpoint, this is stupid," said one doctor. "As a physician, this baffles me. I can't think of a single infectious condition, bacterial, fungal, or viral, where the best medical treatment is to delay the use of an antibacterial, antifungal, or antiviral until the infection is far advanced." This may be why chloroquine, a relatively safe, effective, and cheap drug used for treating many human diseases, is effective in inhibiting the infection and spread of SARS-CoV. That's the problem. It is safe, inexpensive, and it works. In other words, there's nothing bad or aggravant about HCQ. It's been around since 1934. Wow. And there ends my rant for the day, which I promised I wouldn't do anymore. Interesting, when you start to read those things, it really helps with your fear level. And yes, you can get this, and yes, it's still a problem, but there's a cure. There are things. And we have good actors in our government, in the medical profession. We need to pray for them. Pray that they get a voice. Pray that they're not suicided. Pray that they, I'm not making a joke about that. People that do research, there's just another young doctor from Pittsburgh who was on a team researching the effects of this stuff. He ended up dead. Just happened. So the struggle is real. And there's much that we cannot do, but we can pray. Your prayers are effective. And the Lord, this is why I wanted Phyllis to share about these swords and Brady's dream. How often in our little humble place and meeting places and our little humble group of people, the Lord's given us a lot of stuff, a lot of keys, a lot of very valuable direction. And just because we're little and insignificant, we've not lacked for being having indications of powerful things. And to stand, and we did stand with those swords for a long time, but beyond what we even could understand. Pardon? Yes, and my brother would take these swords and hold them all the time, and they're the ones that he holds often, and that's what I wrote on them with magic marker years ago, probably we're back at the tent. And beyond what we understand, we have been, we've been doing the right things, and we can't boast about it because we're very simple. But we've had direction, and these are the things. We fight our fight in the heavenlies, and we do have power. Our words and our effectiveness to enter into the throne and to declare and decree things, which goes back to why we must stop declaring and decreeing things that are bad, because it's powerful. But declare and decree things that are what the Lord's doing. Declare things that we know what the fight is. Let's declare for the truth to come, because there are people fighting this fight. There are people risking their lives to fight the fight for our welfare, for justice, for a new day, for good things. And we need to pray for them that are in positions, and that the Lord will expose the evil plans that are set against them. Save their lives, protect them supernaturally, because they are targeted. We're living in a movie. And so we have a role to play. Make your declarations. When you know what is the truth, declare the truth in the heavenlies, and the Lord will dispatch angels. So if we have angels, who can stop an angel? Who can stop the forces of heaven that wait for us to release them on earth as it is in heaven? So take up your sword and your mantle to show up. And the enemy's plan is to shut you up. The enemy's plan is to shut you down. The enemy's plan is to convince you that you don't matter, to get you asleep, get you discouraged, get your eyes on yourself. And the reality is, God's going to take care of us. God's blessing us. And again, I want to thank all of you for continuing to support the church. Lacey just sent me another number already in this month. We've brought in over $3,000 just like so. Wow. So I'm just blessed by your faithfulness, blessed by the Lord's provision. And there are things unsettling going on with jobs and certain things. But I've also watched the Lord's taking care of our people. It's important for us to say that. Acknowledge it. He's taking care of our people. He's taking care of the faithful. And if a door closes today, another one opens tomorrow. The Lord's taking care of us. We've been faithful in little things, and the Lord's taking care of us. He's watching. I feel today, to go back to Colossians, pick up, we were talking about last week in Colossians about in chapter 3, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Wow. And it's challenging to even share this. So we're going to go start on at verse 12. I'm just going to read through the chapter and make comments on it. But how can you go wrong with just relating? And every statement is convicting. It calls us back. Again, when the most important thing to you is that you're pleasing to the Lord, which is how we should live our lives. We all will, yes, that is how I should be living my life. I should be most concerned about whether Jesus is pleased with me today. Let me begin to read. Just let the scripture speak for itself. I love the fresh look at this passage with a translation, the Passion Translation. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God. So put on the virtues. We get dressed every morning. Just because you got dressed yesterday doesn't mean you don't need to get dressed today. You need to get dressed every day. We need to put on our clothes. We've actually put a lot of energy into this. Some of us don't, but we put energy into this to put on the right garment for the right task. And how much do we think it's any less when it comes to these things? We do have to put these things on. It's a choice to embrace, robe yourself, clothe yourself, put around you the virtue of God, the virtues of God, and these things that are identified. Since you have been divinely chosen to be holy, you're chosen to be set apart, you're chosen to be different. I want the world to encounter you and say, you're different. You're peaceful in the calamity. You have a word of hope in the midst of despair. And I'll catch people, this is why I said, I catch people saying this is the new norm. And I just resist it without being obnoxious. I'm like, no, I'm not agreeing. I'm not buying that. I minister that hope. I'm telling you, I've not seen anybody resist me. When I just smile, when I let them know, I'll make statements like, I'm not afraid of this virus. It's amazing how powerful that is. I've used it several times with people, and they're like, you just see them like, yeah, why do we have to? No, I'm not afraid of it either. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable. Oh Lord, let's just remind us again, Lord, you want me to live my life not being offended. There's no gold star in heaven for you for being a person who is offended and living in offense. Nope. It doesn't get rewarded. Matter of fact, it gives you cancer. It gives you the death grip on your heart, your soul, your countenance. Unoffendable in your presence with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus. So we're always seeing the shortcomings of others. You would have to close your eyes to not encounter shortcomings of people that you're living with, people around you, people at work, people in the government, people our leaders. The shortcomings, there's an abundance of them. It helps so much to just get off of that judgment high horse and just acknowledge, even when people are behaving badly, there's something wrong. And I will say, most of the time, they don't really want to be that way. They've been entrapped. They've been ensnared. They're not guarding over their hearts, or they truly have strongholds. And it's so liberating to just get off the judgment of it. We can acknowledge things that are right and wrong, and things that are good behavior, things that aren't. But to get rid of the judgment, to get off of that horse, it keeps you peaceful. Tolerate their weaknesses. Forgive. And in the same way, you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus. After all, except by the grace of God, so go any of us. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. Okay, that's a good place to start. If you find fault, some of us, sometimes I'll just say all of us can get into this mode where we're professional fault finders. And when we find someone else to talk to, we fellowship about the fault we found in someone else. It must make us feel better when we can gather a couple of us together and identify something to be against, something to find fault with, or somebody to find fault with. It must make us feel better about ourselves. It gets the attention off of us. I don't know. Why are we so prone to go there? But we are. It's so liberating to always, like, just don't engage in that. It's death. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. In verse 15 now, let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Again, when we believe with all of our hearts that God is in control and that we're winning, not losing, you can get peaceful and you can hang on to your peace. When you realize that the Lord is the one that will vindicate you, you can stay peaceful. You don't have to get up in arms. Yes, there are things that we expose. There's truth that needs to be spoken. But there's a difference between when we're in a rage and we feel like our rage and our anger is going to change anything. It actually makes us less powerful, less effective. And the ending of that is, and always be thankful. Practice thankfulness. Practice it. Encourage it. Like Phyllis and I have been getting better and better in our household. And this is where it starts, of just being thankful. There's always something to be thankful for. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. We all miss our worship services. We all miss our worship services. Probably the strongest aspect of our church. The most effective, powerful thing that we have and that we do. But we're not off the hook. None of you are off the hook from giving praise. Break out in praise with your grandchildren, with your children. Break out in praise with your husband, with your wife. Don't be afraid to sing out. It changes the atmosphere of your home. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. There's a question for us. Are the activities of your lives and all the words that come from your lips drenched with beauty, drenched with the beauty of the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One? And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Verse 18 and 19. I don't read this too often, but this is a picture of honor and love in a household. This is what it's to look like. Let every wife be supportive and tenderly devoted to her husband, for this is a beautiful illustration of our devotion to Christ. Being locked up in the house, being home more than normal, not having our normal activities as distractions, you get a lot of opportunity to exercise these things. On women, it's easy to find fault in your husband. Every man, I'm one of them. I have my own list of my own. But I am so empowered when my wife purposefully, even without reason, identifies my strengths or something I've done good. My shoulders go back, it really affects me. And I don't know what I would do if I didn't have that. It'd be so hard to live under a constant negative. And I have there's a whole truckload of things she could use on me or say or bring up all the time. But our normal is that there's an honor and a respect, and it changes. It makes me a different person when I have that. On the same hand, let every husband be filled with cherishing love for his wife and never be insensitive towards her. And every woman, her search, from what I understand, her search is to be loved, to be valued, to be precious. And when she receives that, she can handle all kinds. Women are so resilient. They can handle all kinds of very, very adverse, difficult situations if they know that they're honored, if they know that they're loved, if they know they're respected, if they know they're truly cared about. can handle all kinds of other things not being perfect. This is a picture in our households, and it's just important for us. Let's go back to basics. These are the people. This is the quality of care, the character, the virtues that we're to have on us to emulate and practice these things. The more we practice them, the better it gets. Let the children respect and pay attention to their parents in everything, for this pleases our Lord Jesus. This has been lost in our culture, but it begins with parents, how you raise your children, but this is very important. And on the other hand, and fathers, don't have unrealistic expectations for your children, or else they may become discouraged. And how discouraged and disheartened every child is when they're, it's not about behaving good or bad, but not living up to an expectation that they perceive from a parent. We have to guard over that. They can live in this performance orientation. They grow up in that, and then they carry that into life. It's not a great quality. We think it produces good fruit and benefit and prosperity. It has a bad side effect. We're creating performers rather than people that are truly being who they are. And in the midst of that, honoring, loving, being loved, respecting, being respected. Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. Challenging stuff here. Challenging stuff, hard. For we are to live our lives with pure hearts in constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Put your heart and your soul into every activity you do, as though you are doing it for the Lord Himself and not merely for others. I love it when I'm doing something and I have this consciousness. It's easy to get caught up in life and you lose this focus, but to do things and do them as unto the Lord. I still love to be able to work with my hands and build things and make things. And the biggest part of that and the satisfaction is that I'm always praying in the Spirit, and I do these things and it satisfies something in me, who I am and what I am, and I do it as unto the Lord. And I love being able to do things where I just have that connection, and we all can. What a difference, what a huge difference when you live your life like this. What a quality, what a quality of character is developed in you when what you do, you don't just do to get by. You don't do haphazard. You do it with this sincerity and this pursuit of excellence. Put your soul into every activity you do. For we know that we will receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord, as we serve the Lord Yahweh, the Anointed One. Again, it pulls us back. Here's what it's all about. It's all about laying up treasures in heaven. It's all about the one from heaven who's watching you. And it's easy to feel ripped off by the world and by life and things that happen. But when you do your things and go through things with a real perspective that you've developed of doing it as unto the Lord, you have this belief and you develop this belief system that He will reward you because you indulge yourself in the promises. You'll receive a reward, an inheritance from the Lord as we serve the Lord Yahweh. So the most menial thing, the most unfair thing that you find yourself having to do or in the midst of, if you do it as unto the Lord, it changes the whole thing. I love working as a free person. I love creating as a free person. I love going about my life as a free person. As soon as that freedom is lost, life gets really difficult, doesn't it? And so it's amazing what we'll do when we're doing it. We're asked to engage in something and participate in something. We'll sacrifice, we'll work we'll work for no money. We'll do all kinds of things when there's a vision and a goal for doing something that's greater than ourselves. The moment we lose that freedom and we're put under to do something, wow, that's really hard. Everything can be turned into this doing it out of freedom when you do it as unto the Lord. A disciple will be repaid for what he has learned and followed. So again, emphasis, I'm following Jesus. He's the one that's watching my steps. He's the one that's watching my heart. He's the one that will help me with whatever I'm struggling with. I don't have to hide a struggle. I can confess a struggle and ask him to pour his love out on me every day because I want to be more like him. For God pays no attention to the title or the prestige of men. And living in a culture that's so inundated with roles and positions and the hierarchy of who we are, and we value ourselves by our titles. The kingdom breaks all that. Like in the kingdom, the lowest servant is just as valuable and honored by Jesus. He sees that. He sees the widow's mite. If you give a dollar, if you give the smallest amount or you give the largest amount, if that small amount was given in faith and it was given sincerely, it's the greater gift because God looks on the heart. He looks on the heart in everything that we do. And so we want to continue to replicate Jesus in the chaos and the confusion, going out into life, being peaceful, and enduring the injustices. And there are some difficult ones. There are challenges out there. You don't have to be perfect in it, but when you're sincere in wanting to do it right, people even see that. Maybe seeing your struggle and then seeing your choice has more value than being a person that nothing affects. You go, oh, I have too many struggles. That's not the problem. The problem is, at the end of the day, what did you do? At the end of the day, did you apologize? At the end of the day, did you show compassion? At the end of the day, did you give yourself to do the best that you could before the Lord? It matters. Our peace is contagious. Our joy is contagious. Our faith and our belief is contagious. We're to be light in the darkness. We're a city set on a hill. The word a long time ago, we still are. People are watching, especially when you have no clue that they are. So let's continue to pursue living a life before the Lord and being all that the Lord wants us to be. Pray for those, the justice warriors. Pray for the people that are out on the front lines, that in time, in due time, I believe we're going to see justice come. We're going to see vindication come. We're going to see a lot of evil plans be thrown aside so the light can come through. And I just thank the Lord for all of those people that are in all those places. So let's pray and conclude. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to continue to watch over our people, our body. I ask that you continue to bring provision. I just speak provision to everyone that has anxiety and anxiousness about their provision. I just ask for double portions. I ask that you continue. I've seen all kinds of evidence of you helping us and blessing our people, of things being provided, that you're in charge. You're giving us cues about how to walk, where to turn, where to wait, where to stop. Father, I ask that you could just continue to direct us on the path. And even this issue about when we should start to gather again, just ask for you to watch over us, give us wisdom so that we can remain blameless and please you at the same time. So, Father, I ask a blessing on every household for peace to be there. I ask that we will learn to honor our wives, bless them and love them, honor our husbands, respect them, pay attention to the good things, and to just truly be pleasing to you in all of our relationships, all of our endeavors and what we do. Just ask that in Jesus' name.